Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier with your Cancer Solstice Energy Update. And I am wishing you so much love and a prayer for us all to find the peace within, the joy within, and to share that wherever we can. We are stepping into a season this year, a summer in the Northern Hemisphere. And winter in the southern hemisphere of a lot of shifting dynamics. And it is my intention to share them with you in a way that is inspiring for you, also helps to support you in like aligning with these mysteries in a way that you can consciously participate with it, and also to assist you in aligning with your intention, which I know is deeply in your hearts. To be a force of change, to be an anchor for frequencies of love and care. And in the midst of a very tumultuous world that is in chaos, and to remember we have several parts of ourselves. In my understandings of in my studies and my life work, really, I think of us as like in three parts. One part is our higher self, which is multidimensional, sourced us into this life and every other life, and loves us unconditionally, is here to experience. And when we were born, our higher self, which exists in all dimensions, is a fractal of the source, one source. When we took our first breath, that source anchored in our hearts and in the heart of every cell of our body, embodiment, but is not limited to our body. And then when we were born, there was a body soul, which is really from our parents, from our lineage. And our higher self, this is how I understand things. And you'll see why I'm sharing this with you now. Our higher self is taking on this piece of ancestral trauma and gifts that we receive from our family, past life gifts, past life challenges and trauma that we came here to, transform, transmute, heal, and, release and extract the nutrients and the wisdom and the compassion that all of these wounds, that all of these gifts and all of these wounds all bring us. Whether it's a gift or whether it's a wound, we are here to learn and grow and become more and share our wisdom and healing and care with others. And of course, our higher self has an immense capacity, that big self, to love and care for and nourish all the parts of yourself. The parts you love, the parts your mind likes and does not like, the parts that you think should be different, but yet they are not. And this is a season in some ways that we are being invited to love even more deeply, to access the aspect of us that loves it all, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, that has presence for it all. And I'll explain that as we go into the astrology. And then we have a mental body, a mental consciousness. And I like to call this our inner chief. And our inner chief decides what to pay attention to and what to decide, what is true, what is not true. And we are living at a time where we have to be very careful what we pay attention to, because it's very easy to, like, on the river of life, to have the boat capsize and tip over in the choppy waters, because we're paying too much attention to all of the unraveling, all of the chaos, all of the fear that's in the field. And legitimately, I'm not saying don't pay attention at all. I'm saying be very careful where you give your creative energy, because you're being called on to contribute your presence and to be available to the massively transformative, magical, expansive energies that are supporting you in your own evolutionary growth and process. If too much of our creative energy goes towards being very upset about the unraveling and the chaos and the cruelty that we are seeing in the world, we can shut down. So be open to what is, be aware, feel your feelings, and then your inner chief, focus on. And now I'm going to share with you some stories about what might be helpful to focus on over the summer. So I'm going to keep saying summer. Sorry, I'm in the Northern Hemisphere. Let's just say the Cancer solstice. First, I'd like to read to you a little invocation to Cancer. We acknowledge, honor, and invite the ancient, present, and future keepers of the mysteries of the South, the place of Cancer, of home, of family, whether that family is biological or chosen, whether that family is embodied or in spirit. A place of home, family and roots, the element of water and the season of solstice. When in the Northern Hemisphere, the days are longest, and in the Southern Hemisphere, the days are shortest. I love my home and family, my human family, my galactic family, my chosen family, all who I consider to be my family. I'm committed to responsibly nurturing the seeds that have been planted, whether they be children, caring for the earth, or other creative projects. I am empathic, nurturing, and kind. I know how to love. Do you need anything? I love to take care of you. I let the children play and keep them safe. I love to compassionately open my heart to those that I care for to better meet their needs. I create a safe space for everyone to be vulnerable, to not know, and that includes myself, for I am the Mother Goddess. I embrace it all with love. So that's a beautiful invocation to Cancer. And at this solstice, where it's a big emphasis on the Cancer Mystery School, which does investigate home, roots, and family, as well as community, and what brings us nourishment and self-care. It is all about nurturing ourselves and others and the land. Cancer is about responsibly nurturing and compassionately loving. It's a water element. Water flows. So it's making sure this season that your inner well is full so that you can overflow to nourish others rather than giving from depletion, which is sort of a shadow aspect of many of the water signs, particularly Pisces and Cancer. The North Node is in Pisces. You know, you don't want to be, you want to fill your well. I love this image of being in a field and letting like rainbow waterfalls enter the top of your head and fill you so deeply and nourish you so deeply that there's this overflow. And it's a good time to be thinking about what nourishes you and to be paying attention to when you get depleted. What do you, you know, how do you responsibly commit to yourself, to care of yourself? Where are the boundaries? Cancer doesn't have great boundaries. Water flows. Cancer needs a little bit of the earth, practicality, just know when to say yes, when to say no, because Cancer isn't here just to nurture and love others, but to nurture and love ourselves and all parts of ourselves, including our body self, that is doing a brilliant job of continually opening up to new frequencies, clearing out some of the old beliefs and patterns that have been held for so long that we're all doing this. Our old patterns are coming up to the surface. We are releasing old energies that we've been carrying, that we're carrying in our bodies in this lifetime that may date back many, many lifetimes, then they may be from our ancestors, and we're here to be that transition team to clear this out so that the buck stops here. It is an accelerated time of human evolution that we are living through. And it is also a world that is chaotic and challenging. And yet we're being asked to hold more love, more compassion. And Cancer can teach you to do that as long as you're willing to listen to how to also hold more love and compassion for yourself. So this summer, there's going to be an increased intensification and also an unraveling and also more magic, potential for magic. So the sun is in Cancer, Mercury is in Cancer, and Jupiter is in Cancer. So three planets in Cancer, and the sun is squared by Neptune, which brings in that mystical reality, connection to that higher self in our heart, our inner guidance, the invisible world of spirit, of ancestors. You know, it's that seeing the trees sparkle, getting messages from the trees, from the flowers, the dream world becomes more important, more active. Our ability to connect with all realms becomes stronger. The boundaries dissolve with Neptune. And Neptune is, well, I'm going to talk about Neptune more later, so I'm going to be like repeating myself a lot because there is a lot happening. So here, this is just a little bit about Neptune, but Neptune is that felt sense that love is real, that the universe is pervaded with love, and that we can tap into that. And that when we tap into that, it can dissolve our beliefs and the ideas that we have of a small self that isn't connected to something larger. And we can feel ourselves connected to something larger. But that doesn't happen if we're really plugged in too much to the media, to social media, and because then we're going to connect to the other part of Neptune, which is deception and confusion and lies and deceit, which is all around us. So Venus is in Leo and trining Neptune, and Jupiter and Leo have been really deeply connected during this time, and right before the solstice, the week prior, you could really see at right before sunset, Jupiter and Leo, Jupiter and Venus sparkling bright together, which is many, many blessings and an amplification of the divine feminine. The moon is in the sign of Virgo, which is our dedication and reverence to all life, grounded practicality. So this is some of the energy we're working with, but I want to talk a little bit about a couple of really major activations that are coming through the summer. They've been present all through June, but mildly, and they get stronger and stronger and stronger till finally we reach middle of July, and it just is the intensification really heats up. So I want to just share with you a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to share with you something else. That one of my best lovely friends and one of my first astrology teachers is Kaylin Castell. And I studied at the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School, in 2021. And she was one of my teachers. And that, mystery school really did teach us a lot about cosmology and even, really what we see visually in the stars at night, at what we can see and relating to that and connecting with that, you know, connecting with the rising sun, the setting sun, the full moons, the new moons. But there is a part of the sky that we learned about and that Kaylin has been talking a lot about recently. And it was a reminder to me of how magical I found all this information. So I want to share it with you, but if it's too much detail for you, just tune, you know, listen to it. Don't feel you need to understand all the details. If you want to understand all the details, there's a book, called The Star Knowledge of the Lakota, and it's all in there. So basically at summer solstice, the sun is at the center of something called the sacred hoop of stars. And it's not just this year. It is, you've heard me talk about this. I call it galactic edge, but it's more than that. This is the place where our galaxy and the plane of our solar system intersect. It is in the center of the sacred hoop. Many indigenous cultures tracked this. The Lakota did it profoundly to the point where their sun dance happens at summer solstice. When the sun is at the center of the sacred hoop, they had quite a living relationship with cosmology and the as above, so below mysteries and places in the land that corresponded to different stars and different places in the hoop. And interestingly, many other indigenous peoples related to the sacred hoop. And one of them were the Cherokee people. And there is a teacher named Ahani Wahu. She was my first spiritual teacher. And she taught us something called the dance of the four directions, which we do. And I have been doing for 40 years, which is about mending the sacred hoop, which I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about. Anyway, The sun has been at the center of the sacred hoop since 1920 and will be there since 2070. The Cancer solstice sun, just like the December solstice sun, is at galactic center. They are, and this can only happen every 26,000 years, as you heard me say. The intent, and it moved in, it clicked in the 20s. It'll click out in 2070, but the intensity is 1982 to 2034. So we are in the center point of this very intense time. You could call it a fork in the road, a bend, a time of shifting out of the old ways of forgetting and into the ways of remembering, shedding and remembering, and then moving into repair. So what's very interesting is that I was taught that when a planet enters a sacred hoop, it was very significant. And Jupiter and Venus are leaving the sacred hoop at the time of the solstice. Uranus enters the sacred hoop this summer, and so does Mars. Mars enters at the end of June. Uranus enters in June. Uranus stays there till 2039. When planets are in the sacred hoop, they come, the planets that are moving enter the sacred hoop. They're highlighted, their magic, their power, their amplification. In case you're wondering what other stars are in the sacred hoop, always it's the Pleiades, the Seven Sisters, Sirius, Procyon. These were considered magical stars by ancient alchemists, and they used them in distilling elixirs, making medicine. So whenever there are conjunctions to these planets, it's very potentized. So there's other planets. There is Capella, Rigel, Pollux. I don't want to get too much into those details. The galactic edge where the summer solstice sun is located is between the horns of the bull, what we think of as Taurus, and the foot of the twins, which is what we think of as Gemini, between Castor and Pollux. So if you find Castor and Pollux in the sky and Aldebaran, in between that is this place that is the center of the hoop. Okay, so with this understanding that where we place our attention is where we give our life force and creative energy, when we pay attention to what's happening in the sky, we're able to align and consciously co-create in more powerful ways instead of being whipped around by some of the energy. And there is a Lakota prophecy that says when the sacred hoop is whole, all people will work together to create a new world and move out of the dominator culture. But in order to do that, and that whenever planets are in the sacred hoop, it is significant and important, and that there will be a time of great purification where humanity is plagued by greed and environmental destruction. And this, when we're in that time, which we are clearly in, we will be moving into a time of learning how to forgive the unforgivable, carry hope in our hearts, healing, and understand the unity of the world. The sacred hoop also refers to the medicine wheel, which represents the four directions. And the dance that I do is called the Dance of the Four Directions. So Uranus has entered the sacred hoop. That's all I want to say about that. Uranus has entered the sacred hoop, and Uranus is squaring the nodes of the moon as we speak. And Mars is entering the sacred hoop on June 28th. Mars will reach the center on August 11th, right in time for an eclipse. Mercury is also, in the sacred hoop. So there's a lot of planets in the sacred hoop, which is why I wanted to bring it up. If you want way more information about this, you can find Kaylin Castell. She will give you much more information about this. I'm really just paraphrasing some of what I've learned from her. So there's a lot more to say about it, but we really do need to be thinking about how we are holding our intention in our hearts to mend and to heal and come together in unity. Because it's really easy to point fingers at people who are behaving in the world in ways that are, you know, could really easily be described as unforgivable. But then we become people who are paying, like focusing our attention and creative power onto those people and sending them a lot of energy. And that is happening a lot these days. And it is helpful to try and understand how really, to begin to focus on how we forgive ourselves for things inside of us that we find, unlikable, unlovable. And to remember our choice to be here for this time. I want you to imagine that you chose to be here knowing that there was a very high probability that you would be part of a great renewal. There was also a probability that it might not go so well, but a very high probability that this time your drop in the ocean was going to create a wave of love, of forgiveness, of healing, of transformation that all begins with you. That would ripple for many generations, but that might not be able to see completely clearly the impact you're having in this moment. So it's a time to renew your will, your vow to be here, to understand, like in spirit, we understood this is probably a multi-generational slow process. And part of it involves going through this time of great purification and chaos and war and environmental discretion. But that we're here for it, to remember our choice and also the power of that choice, that we are embodiments of source, that we are part of a great wave, and that this great wave doesn't happen at one full moon or one eclipse or one astrological alignment, which the internet might tell you it does. It's very challenging for me as an astrologer to see people talking about this full moon changes everything forever. And you're definitely going to be hearing a lot about that this summer. And it's true. On the river of life, which has been very turbulent for many years, but we keep getting used to the turbulence. And then it picks up more. And this summer, it's picking up very much. And we are coming around a bend. And Rick Levine, who's another astrologer, I love what he says. He says, it's like we're coming around this bend this summer. We don't know what's on the other side. So we need to get comfortable with not knowing, with trusting our divine intention, our higher, you know, our spirit's intention, our spirit's total enthusiasm to be here and to make a difference through how we live our lives, through our own healing process, through our awakening process, and then how we bring that into the world. Some of us in big ways and what appears to be a big way, and some of us in ways that appear to be more local or in with smaller groups. It doesn't matter. You are part of that wave. Part of the thinking that we're letting go of is it has to look a certain way in order for it to count. And it is quite challenging to have chosen to continually be taking in new frequencies and healing and growing and accepting and loving and becoming and changing. And this is what which is a lot about our lives. And then to find ways to bring that into the world in practical ways that make a difference, but that also are right for us. We cannot live our lives. And this is part of the alignments of the summer. At the end of June, Jupiter moves from Cancer to Leo. And Leo is all about learning to become that light in your heart that when you took your first breath, anchored in that spark of the divine, and how that spark of the divine is interacting with your particular humanness, your particular stories, your particular embodiment. And to find that self-worth, that self-love that is authentic and unique to you, and shedding all of the ways that the culture or the family that you were born into told you who you needed to be in order to be validated, in order to be loved, in order to be important. Everyone here is important. And healthy Leo understands that. We see a lot of unhealthy Leo, which is the striving for importance, attention-seeking behavior, unhealthy Leo is I'm God and you're not, or I'm special, but you're not. And healthy Leo is actually about igniting, connecting to that bowl of light in our heart, radiating it, and to see that bowl of light in everyone else. And as we see that high, high potential in other people, it gives them, it's like lighting a candle. It's not just how we see ourselves that makes a difference, but how we choose to see other people. So here we go. I'm going to jump around. Sorry about that. On the 19th, a few days before solstice, Chiron moves into Taurus. And so this is really activated by the high energy of the solstice. So Chiron was a healer, a teacher, a mentor, and he will be in Chiron Taurus for about 8 years. It starts June 19th, 2026. It stays there till September 17th, then goes back into Aries. And then in the spring of 2027, Chiron goes back into Taurus and stays there till 2034. And I believe it's 2033 that Chiron is in the sacred hoop, maybe even the center of the sacred hoop. So, Chiron goes into a sign every 50 years. So it was 50 years ago that Chiron entered Taurus last time. Interesting, because Chiron points to where our wounds are, where our deepest wounds are, the wounds that make us human, the wounds that we carry from our lineage, from our past lives, the wounds that we, it's not like we fix them all, but we move beyond the effect as we transform our wounds into the medicine that we carry. And what does that even mean? It means that when we move through a challenging experience, a painful experience, we accrue wisdom from that. We learn and we grow from that experience. Chiron is here to teach us to learn and grow from all of the experiences, whether they're pleasurable, whether they're painful, whether they're challenging, whether they're easy. And to cultivate compassion for ourselves, to cultivate compassion for places that feel broken. And to, through that compassion for ourselves, cultivating compassion for other people who are acting out from a wound. You know, wounded people wound others. And to understand that is wisdom. It doesn't mean you condone it. It means that you don't define that other person as all bad, that you see that they still have, that they're acting from a profound wound. And when you have acted from a profound wound and hurt others, to be able to bring compassion, awareness, softening around that. That is Chiron's magic. Chiron was also a master numerologist, an astrologer, herbalist, energy worker, dream master, worked with psychedelics. When I was in Greece, I went to many Chiron temples, and there were many. And when I went, I got this transmission. I was like 22 years old. A lot of things happened when I was 22. I got this transmission that I was a healer, that I wasn't going to go to law school. And I was like, what? It wasn't. Anyway, so 50 years ago, Chiron entered Taurus. And what happened, that was in 1976. And in 1976, we had the oil crisis with Iran, where they took hostages and oil prices went up. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember waiting in line with my parents for a very long time at a gas station to try and get gas. And the prices went, for those days, very sky high. So that I just found very interesting. Earth Day was created during Chiron and Taurus. The environmental movement really grew during this time. And a lot of earth-based medicines began to creep into the outside of our culture. And what we used to call holistic medicine started to really come in the 1970s. So Chiron in Taurus
is an initiation and an invitation for us to slow down the pace. Taurus is a very slow moving archetype and mystery school. And this is going to be helpful to us because a lot of the outer planets are in fire and air, and the pace of our lives is quickening with technology and AI and so many different types of media and so much demanding our attention. So this is where our wounds are. Our wounds are around needing to find stability and grounding at a time of fast changing world and a world in turmoil and so many things competing for our attention that can create a loss of attention. So Chiron invites us to practice patience, perseverance, pleasure in the moment, in the simplicity of each moment. For example, I have a tendency to attract a lot of Taurus people around me, and I have a lot of fast-moving, fiery energy. And one of the things that I learn from them is, like, especially my husband, is how to just stare at a sunset and just absorb and receive every beautiful transmission and sensory experience of that moment. So Taurus is about learning to receive, learning to simplify. And I think when I think of receptivity, I think of gratitude. When we are grateful, we are receiving. And the result of that receiving is that natural feeling of gratitude, which then alters our field to be open to receiving more. And it's gratitude about little things, about the beauty of the clouds, about water coming through our faucet. Every day I turn on the water, maybe because I'm building a house in Costa Rica where the water sometimes doesn't work. I am very grateful. Like, wow, magic. I turn this on. Wow, I have a hot shower. All these things are amazing, and how it feels. Taurus is sensual pleasure. The feeling of the sun on your skin, the feeling of a nice warm bath, the feeling of a shower, the feeling of the deliciousness of fresh strawberries. Taurus is inviting us to take in the beauty regardless of the chaos and intensity of the world around us, and to find that that part of us that can do that. And it also teaches us how to clear the pathways inside of us to let more love in, and to really look at the places inside of us that we are not loving ourselves and we are not allowing other people to love us. And this is going to get, Taurus brings up those places of wounding, the places where we don't feel stable, or the places that we don't feel our self-worth is as high as we would like it to be, or we don't feel embodied. So Taurus is teaching us to become more embodied, to find those places of pain in our bodies where we're carrying, and to release them, to enter them, to let ourselves be uncomfortable by bringing our consciousness as deeply as we can in and clear, to make room for more energy, and to practice gratitude and savoring the moment and opening all of your senses to life. But to remember that Chiron reveals the wounds that make us human and teaches us how to distill an elixir from those wounds, which is how we carry medicine. I know that as a healer, when I was in my 20s, I was very sick. And it was through those experiences of experiencing weird illnesses that doctors couldn't figure out that made me more patient, more compassionate, and wiser as I learned to heal myself and work around the places that were like, I was a highly sensitive person. That term hadn't been discovered in the 1980s. And so that's one of my superpowers. And it's also one of my wounds, really, that I will not recover from, because I don't, not, it's not like I'm supposed to. All of us who are highly sensitive people, it's a gift, but we have to tend that gift with so much kindness and compassion by what we choose in our life, that where we choose to put ourselves. So Chiron is also inviting us to align more with what our core values are and to change our lives. Chiron is inviting us to rebuild our self-worth
based on what is really true and authentic for us, not what our culture has told us we have to be. It is also about healing our relationship to the earth, becoming more stewards of the earth. I do think that permaculture and earth-based practices and, you know, speaking to the earth, laying on the earth, receiving messages from the earth. Taurus is earth. Taurus is also an embodiment of the divine feminine in form. So, but the most important thing is to slow down and trust that there is more support for you and more stability inside of yourself to find, even if the world is more and more unstable. Chiron in Taurus is challenging you and inviting you, initiating you into finding that stability within and integrating your wounds into your medicine, sharing the wisdom gained from your experiences. They could be the wounds of scarcity, of not feeling safe, of not being able to receive love. And it's an opportunity for you to go into those places so that repair can happen. And to remember, in terms of how do we repair the sacred hoop, we start with the sacred hoop inside of us. We start with all parts of ourselves, honoring them as equal. And we extend that out to the world. And we form groups, you know, in this time, we're being invited to be with other people and in small groups to radiate love together, whether it's through dance or through poetry readings or through gardening practices, and to feel that love that is inherent within us, to feel that love from our higher self. Chiron in Taurus is also a balm for these fast moving fire and air times that we're in. It also invites us to take up space, to feel the sweetness, connect with the rhythms and cycles of nature, and to celebrate the seasons as they change. And to drop into stillness whenever you can in the midst of all the noise, to invite healing in your body, healing in nature, love and care for the earth. And as Chiron is moving into this right around solstice, Chiron in July is going to meet up with Pluto. They're both underworld initiators. So they take us really deep into emotional places. Space and a great deal of awareness at this time of AI, data centers, you know, economic instability, the fear, are we going to be okay? Or is there going to be food? All that might be up in the field. And again, the balm is to find that stability within you, to connect to nature, to find your gratitude, to lay on the earth and to feel like the profoundness of that connection, and to find ways to help and heal. Chiron is about finding ways to help and heal. And it's also our bodies, the earth, and how we incarnate. And seeing, you know, part of this underworld experience is we're seeing how much too much technology can be harmful to our bodies and our nervous systems, and to choose for ourselves what is healthy and what is unhealthy for us. What's the right balance for you? And it's different with different people. Some people do better with it than others. How do we balance our relationship with technology, with our relationship with our bodies and the earth? And how is technology changing our nervous systems? And how do we deal with this? How do we receive and renew and restore ourselves when at times we feel very disembodied from technology? And again, Chiron in Taurus is about healing that and reminding us it's about slowing down and coming into relationship with the earth. So moving on, July 4th, at the end of June, Mars moves into Gemini and moves into the sacred hoop. And again, whatever's in the sacred hoop is exponentially affecting us. And on July 4th, the planet Uranus and Mars will be conjunct. And this tends to be pretty explosive. Mars is really activating the energy of Uranus. So let's talk about Uranus, because Uranus is squaring the nodes during this time. And Uranus is in the sacred hoop. And on July 18th, Pluto and Uranus will form the first of five trines.
And they will, it will form a an exact triangle with Neptune. Anyway, this first of five trines that happen on July 18th and 19th will be actually active really, really all the way through 2028, the end of 2026, all the way through 2027. Into the spring of 2028, it's exact, but we're going to feel it really into 2029. And so, Uranus with Mars is like an ignition point, a catalytic point. It can be explosive. There can be a lot of revelations. Uranus is the great awakener. Uranus is divine intelligence. Uranus is a spiritual initiation that disrupts patterns inside of us so that we can open to a greater possibility, greater creativity. Uranus introduces sudden shifts, breakthroughs. The breakthroughs can come from breakdowns, but they can also just come from having a breakthrough. They can be you're walking in the woods and this problem that has vexed you or this place you felt stuck in your life and you couldn't figure out how to deal with it or get out of it and you just keep repeating the pattern over and over. It's this flash of insight, intuition, and synchronicity to see a new way forward, a new possibility. So Uranus is famous for that. So that's the beauty of Uranus. But when you look at global events, so in our personal lives, Uranus is associated with Kundalini and intuition and our higher self communicating really powerfully. In the world, it is catalytic, explosive, unexpected sudden shifts and revelations, truth telling. So we can expect all through July, a lot of truth, a lot of more revelations. We've already been here. It's going to get more. Uranus also brings through unique and unusual experiences. Uranus is the sky god, so Uranus is connected to the sky. And Pluto is an Aquarius connected to the sky. And so we are hearing, there's the word galactic, our galactic family, our the galactic connections we have. This isn't really new for you, for most of you people, but for in the world, in the mainstream, that word is a new word. That concept of connecting to the invisible world, to guides and teachers or people that live on other planets, that it's becoming more mainstream. And of course, we have the movie Disclosure that's part of all of this. And we have the FBI releasing files. Nobody knows how much of that's truth or not truth, but it's still in the zeitgeist, which is a very Iranian thing. Uranus is associated with synchronicities, connection to the spirit world. Uranus is about bringing us a bigger, broader, vaster perspective, flashes of insight and intuition. And Mars is really putting the pedal to the metal, you could say. It's igniting that. And with Uranus in Gemini, it's about accelerated communications and new technologies. Gemini is about playfulness. In fact, I want to read you Uranus is in Gemini, just got there, will be there for like 7 or 8 years. We invite the mysteries of Gemini, the element of air and the season before summer solstice. I am the wandering minstrel, the storyteller and the bringer of news and information. I'm creative. I'm magical. I'm playful and mischievous. I love to entertain you and channel the divine comedian. I am a trickster and a shapeshifter. I am the eternal youth and your ever-changing contrary. I get the cosmic joke and get you to the left. Gemini does connect to our inner child, and Gemini connects to our capacity to be multidimensional beings, is associated with rainbow goddess Iris and Hermes, who is a guide for souls, who could go into all, like could be with you when you're dying, can be with you when you're birthing, and doesn't get caught in the drama of it, and can shape-shift the energy to, I'll tell you a story about Coco Pelli, who, if you ever go to airports, he's that itinerant flute player that you see in a lot of Native American art. And there's a story about him. There was a big drought, and a lot of the medicine people were going into the sweat lodges, and they were praying for rain. And then Coco Pelli came into the sweat lodge with his girlfriend and made love right in the sweat lodge, which you're really not supposed to do at all. It's crazy wisdom and out of bounds behavior. And yet the rain came. And everyone was like, how did you do it? Like, why did you do that? And how did you do that? And it's like, if you wanted to make rain, you needed to create the joy that you would feel, to shapeshift into the energy that you would feel if the rain came, rather than crying and being and grieving that the rain isn't coming. So Gemini is that reminder to shapeshift the energy up, but not in such a way to dissociate from your feelings. Although Gemini is pretty known for that, but that's not what it's teaching us to do. So Uranus is really active now, all through the summer, and really through with Pluto through 2028. And when it's trying Pluto, it is a revolutionary energy. It is heralding social and spiritual movements that change the game. And you can think of the 60s with the women's movement and the civil rights movement and waves of Eastern religious teachers coming in to the United States, Ram Dass, psychedelics, you can also think that there was a huge backlash to that we're seeing now. In 2012 and 2015, these planets were squaring, and there was the legalization of cannabis, an expansive use of ethnogenic substances like ayahuasca and psilocybin, the legalization of same-sex marriage, and the backlash to all of this. And now these planets are forming a trine, but in fact, what everyone's going to be talking to you about in July is that Pluto and Uranus are going to be at 4 degrees of their signs. They're both an air sign. So they're like flying together, and they're empowering each other, and they're sharing information, and they're having conversations, and they're major planetary initiators that herald great change. One of them is in the sacred hoop. And then you've got Neptune, which is forming a sextile. So they're in this triangle configuration. But mid-July to the end of July, Jupiter joins in. So Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto are at 4 degrees of their signs. Jupiter comes in and Mars comes in. And what they form is a basket. And many astrologers say that there's never been 4 major planetary initiators at the same degree forming this basket in this way. And so this is like that turn of the bend, this turning point that we can't see beyond because we don't know what will happen. One of the things about Uranus and Pluto cycles is that you cannot predict. They are unpredictable. They bring in, it's the realm of initiation, the realm of radical revolutionary change for evolution from Uranus. And Pluto is bringing in the depth of transformation, the need to transform. You've got Chiron as well in the mix, which is about healing our relationship to our bodies, to the earth, to ourselves. Everything I already said, I'm not going to repeat it. You've got Neptune. Neptune and Uranus are both spiritual initiators. They are from the spirit realm. Neptune dissolves what is no longer true and brings in new visions and dreams from the field of all possibilities, dissolves boundaries, expands our intuition and our inner guidance coming from our higher self and our guide team and the spirit of all of life. Neptune is about mystical union. Neptune is about this acknowledgement that we are all woven together as part of humanity. And is very visionary and very expansive. Now, we did have a conjunction between this visionary, expansive, spiritual initiator that teaches us through going into our hearts and trusting our inner guidance is not a mind-based thing. So when our mind wants to know something in a Neptune cycle, it's when we receive information from our dreams, from our journeys, from our meditations, from the poetry we write, from floating and being in the spaciousness and just feeling energies and letting and surrendering to that bigger love. And Uranus, similar, except Uranus is sort of the divine mind and Neptune is divine love. They both have shadow expressions. And when you look at the world events, those Saturn expressions
do get expressed. But for you, what I would like you to pay attention to is the possibility of these massive planetary initiators that herald change and transformation and magic and spiritual evolution, to trust that the waves in this river that are now big waves are taking you where you need to go, and to slow down, to trust the process, to feel what you feel, to take time to smell the flowers, to enjoy the sunlight filtering through the leaves, to pay attention to what is needing to heal in you, and understanding that we heal the web of life. We start with ourselves, and we also extend that to others. And then also, as we hear our intuition and guidance, we create with this type of Uranian energy, the synchronicities, to see a way forward that is in alignment with our values and in alignment with what these new earth needs for us to act on, what seeds we need to plant, and to recognize and understand also that the seeds that we're planting now may or may not come to fruition very, very soon. Although there are a lot of changes that will probably happen in the next 10 and 20 years. Some of them you're going to like, some of them you're not. But there's this awakening process that Uranus brings. There's this awakening that we're all in this together. One example for me that's very obvious is the data centers. It's not a political issue. It's a people issue. And also, part of this basket configuration is Pluto and Uranus speaking to each other. And this is about radical revolution, change, evolution, depth, transformation. It really does signal great transformation in a culture. And empower spiritual and social movements. But then we also have Neptune, which is this major spiritual initiator that is about bringing in the dreams and the visions and the energy and the frequencies and the guide teams that haven't been active, or a deeper connection to your higher self, a deeper embodiment of the wisdom of intuition and all of the gifts that are unfolding in you now and will continue to unfold. But then you also have Chiron healing and Saturn. Saturn's not part of this, but Saturn has had this conjunction with Neptune, where Saturn, which is the one who makes the dreams real, Neptune does the dreaming, but then Saturn has to figure out how to take those dreams and put them into the world, how to take the beautiful energy and the new frequencies and to bring them into our lives to create with, to open up our new perceptions, to change our lives in tangible, practical ways. This can be challenging, because as soon as we try and do that, we meet obstacles, challenges, frustrations. But Saturn is about teaching us how to persevere and to grow and to evolve and to become wiser through taking these very intangible energies and frequencies and bringing them into our lives and in the world, planting the seeds, nourishing the seeds, weeding. Some of the seeds aren't going to work out, so then you plant some more and keep at it until we start to see more of a direction that we want to see our lives and the world move in. So this summer is in some ways a turning point. There will be extra chaos and disruption and surprising events. There will be new vibrations coming in. The old is collapsing. The energy that holds the old world together is collapsing. And so it's going to be easier and easier to see all the lies and deceit that you already see. I know you do. But a lot of people, enough people haven't been. More and more people are going to kind of find themselves on the same side of things and wanting change, so that the power structures are reflecting the needs of the people. Like, oh yeah, in our Constitution in the United States, doesn't it say that the government is supposed to be an instrument that when we pay our taxes, it comes to the people? Like, we pay for things that support the people. And isn't it becoming clearer and clearer and clearer that it's going to feed the top elites that are kind of grabbing all of this power and money and wealth? And more people are like, wait a minute. And there'll be more information this summer, more
to feed these revolutionary energies that are arising. And what Neptune does is it says, and let's feed them with love. Let's feed them with connection. And what Uranus does is like, let's see this through the eagle's eye, through this big picture, that we are this transition team, that we may or may not see the full fruition of what we're working on together. And yet it's still so important. And to have trust and faith that we knew we had a good chance of being this wave, enough conscious people to create a wave that affects the future generations in a positive way that wouldn't have happened how we not been here. We are at a threshold point. The doors are wide open. A lot of conversations about a growing awareness that we are moving from the great forgetting to the great remembering. And it's also been termed the great turning, to remember that we are reflecting the as above in the so below, that we are all fragments of these waves, that we are healing our own wholeness, we are healing into our own wholeness, and remembering that we came here with this wholeness, with this connection to source, that we are a source, and that we are repairing this connection, this portal we're in this summer, starting with the solstice, starting really before the solstice, but the solstice really revs it up, is a huge shift in consciousness and paradigm shifts that will eventually find their way into physical reality, into how we actually live our lives. We need this sense of spaciousness now, this big picture overview, to be okay with not knowing what the journey will look like over the coming weeks, months, or years. And as Rick Levine says, we cannot see around the bend, but we are approaching the bend, and it's stormy and chaotic, but eventually, as we round the bend, we will be able to see more clearly. And it is very important that what we pay, to remember that what we feed grows, what we pay attention to grows. So make sure you pay attention to the sacred, to the playfulness, to the joy, to the simple, to the blessings, to your intentions for your life. There will be a lot of revelations and demasking this summer. That includes on a personal level for you, a certain sense perhaps of exhaustion for wherever you might have been performing in your life, because the nodes change too, which means the South Node's going to be in Leo. And this is about letting go of who you thought you needed to be in order to survive in the world that wasn't true for you. And any performance, letting go of performance and tapping into authenticity and joy and your inner spark and trusting it, even if you don't know exactly where it's taking you. It will become more exhausting to pursue things that are not true and aligned for you. And you will be getting a push over the summer to be more authentic and truer in your expression and more honest about what truly is lighting up in you, to live a more truer, more inspired way of life. Yeah, the next 6 to 7 weeks, expect the unexpected, changes in the outer world. Hold space for courage, for curiosity. Hold space for not needing to know. Boy, I have more to say. You could. it's a good time to reflect on what you're giving your life force to, how you are attending to your inner sacred fire, what is real for you beneath your projected images, and how do you become more of who you really are? We truly are emerging into a new era, but it's not happening all at once. It's happening so slowly that it requires trust and a holding open that how we affect the next seven generations. We are also at the center point of an acceleration of some chaos and discord and global turbulence, and that is accelerating. So we want to be placing our focus on moving into a time of awakening, expanding our perceptions, which and our creative possibilities. We want to be focusing our intention of empowering each other to connect to our spirits, to our communities, to nature, and to connect to that soul spark in our heart and to see that, practice seeing that in other people. A new state of consciousness and worldview is birthing more and more, and we're learning to trust it. We're finding a way to cultivate and grow the seeds that we've been planting for a while now.
and to trust. And to, we are also seeing, and more people are seeing, deceit and corruption in leadership around the world. And I do believe that in the next several years, there'll be a great turning point around people demanding leaders to become accountable to the people. There is a surge for freedom and truth and courage with these activations, astrological activations. There is a call to become better stewards of the earth and healers, and to pay attention to what are you yearning for? How can you support the rising consciousness in you and other people? And how can you ignite that sacred fire in your heart, that seed of light that has always been with you, that inner voice of wisdom that is connected to the all? How can you remember the magic that you incarnated with, the skills you incarnated with? We are remembering our connection to the web of life, to each other and all of life. And we are finding creative ways to stay in that connection and to remind each other about that connection. We are also remembering our power and our creative abilities during this time, that it is the people who have the power to create reality if we believe in ourselves, and that we are helping to repair ourselves and the world and to move into this time of remembering and acting from that place of remembering. So my love to you all, and wishing you a beautiful solstice.